Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
You are not in it, though.
You're not in it.
No. It's okay. We'll take another selfie. Kathy's going to take a selfie first. Yeah, come on. We're already on the air. Come on. Let's take a selfie.
Yeah, let's take a selfie.
Come on.
Yeah,
no. You get your cup cutting yourself off.
We
can always take time for a selfie.
Hi there.
Okay, hold on. The mic is good. In my face. Let's do it again.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Again.
We're on the air. People are watching the video, and you're taking selfies.
Okay. So, see, you know, we live in a world where it's always time for a selfie.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. It's all about me. That's baby boomers. Right, Paul?
Yes. It seems like it today, yeah.
Right? Absolutely. Did you take a picture of Paul?
No.
He's a baby boomer. He's running the board. If you don't take a picture of Paul, we might have a problem. Technical difficulties may occur.
Nobody
gets a picture of Paul.
That means he's going to be our future client?
Boom!
Okay. Let's start.
All right. So for whoever is joining us and thinking, wondering what the heck is going on The Rad Life today, let me introduce my guests, okay? I've got to my right Mr. Hani Fawaz, and in front of me, the lovely Kathy Makbuli. And... did I say that right?
Makbule.
Okay. So there you go.
You pronounced my name right.
I put the emphasis on the right syllables. Yeah. So Hani is one of my people. And so that's why I know how to pronounce it. And Kathy is not too far away, but Makbule.
Makbule.
I didn't realize the E-H was A.
So. Uh-oh. Yeah. Something fell out there.
And something fell?
Right. I better check.
Okay. No, don't.
Because you mispronounced my name, but that's all right.
Paul Robert? John Smith is on the control board. Okay.
It's Smythe.
Okay. John Smythe. So, this lady and gentlemen are here because they are involved in the cereal industry, and that's why we were making a derogatory comment. But a supportive one.
The poster child for the senior movement.
To the senior movement who's sitting behind the board every week diligently. Right. You are actually a very active poster child of the baby boomer generation. You know that?
I try to be.
Yeah. You know, Paul is for you, Kathy and Hani, you don't know Paul as well as I do, which is fortunate for you.
Come on. Get easy in the guard.
No. We do this all the time.
Okay.
I remember when I walked in one time, this is a joke that everybody who's been listening to the show has heard many times, but I said to him, you're kind of like my Robin. And he said, oh, like Batman and Robin. I said, no, Howard Stern and Robin.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Paul is actually a very good example of an active baby boomer. He reinvented himself, what is it, 5 years ago, Paul?
Six, seven years ago.
When did you do the radio station? When you started the radio station?
I had been in PR for 20 years. That collapsed in the Great Recession, and I thought, I got to do something. I'm in my mid-50s. What the heck am I going to do? And I discovered podcasting, which is like what I'd done as a kid, real radio, terrestrial radio. And I thought, I could do this. And I started dabbling with it around 2010 and opened the station here in 2013, way after your guest did. She saw it way earlier than
I was going to say, you and Kathy have something in common.
That's true.
Okay, so Kathy, let's start with you, because we do this as part of the beginning of every show, is background of the guest. So what is that common thing that you have with Paul? But you actually were ahead of him.
Well, I don't know. I started when I was 17, actually. And I was just hosting a show and have a live 3 to 5 hours program almost every day.
Wow.
And on the internet.
No. When I was 17, this is like about 33 years ago.
I think Paul was paying a compliment. Well done, Paul Robert.
Good going, Smythe. No, the internet radio, we did it back in 1999. And, We just had very short hours of live, because back then barely anybody had any internet or barely anybody knew anything about internet, especially radio.
Well, and for those people that basically now simply turn on their Facebook and hit the live feed and basically do a live broadcast on Facebook, why don't you tell people what it used to cost to actually do
$1 million?
$7,000 a month was my major fee that we were paying to AT&T.
For the connection and the bandwidth.
T1 and all those.
We pay twice that here. I'm just to impress you. We pay twice.
Oh,
But for how many shows?
No.
And for how long?
3 hours.
We paid hundreds, not thousands.
Yeah, it was crazy, right? I mean, for those who remember those covered wagon days of the internet, it was crazy.
Not only that, it was crazy, but the major thing was that it was too new that you have to learn everything. I mean, I remember posting the picture as it is right now, and it take you 2 seconds. I remember back in 1999, I got my first digital camera, which my husband got me because I wanted to start selling online and start selling on eBay, which it was
in 1999.
Wow,
really, that is advanced.
It took me good almost 3 months. I interview a lot of people. They couldn't even, I mean, we talked to eBay many times because I wanted to find a way to how to take the picture. Then you have to download the pictures into your computer and then transfer it and then send it to eBay, which was every post that I was putting, it would taking me like easy 2-3 hours.
Wow.
Kathy, I remember I was online in 94. The first time I got really kind of online was in 94. We were still talking about bulletin boards, not chat rooms.
Yeah.
Right? And there was nothing but text, and you know, almost like writing in BASIC and Fortran for those who know computer language, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were paying $1 a minute on AOL, $1 a minute on AOL, and
exactly.
Trust me, we've spent a lot of dollars on AOL. Okay,
that's right.
And I have the bills to prove it somewhere. The crazy thing about Earthlink. I remember getting my email address. My first email was at
Earthlink. We'll have these in the show notes, kids, if you want to go look up things like Earthlink and AOL.
Earthlink is still around.
Earthlink's still around.
Yeah, and they absorbed a whole bunch of companies across the country. They're still around. Earthlink used to be two guys in Pasadena in 94. Literally two guys in Pasadena. And I would call and I would talk to him or him. Basically,
yeah.
Right. It was fascinating. You know, people don't realize that what we do today and how things have changed and how things continue to change in everything. I mean, you know, we talked about Paul, you know, reinventing himself as technically a senior at 55 or mid 50s and how his aging is basically different from what his parents' aging was like, right? I mean, you know, in everything. And there's this continuous learning component. Like he's probably learning something every day on what he has to do here, provide the service and the support for all these shows. How many shows do you have on this station, Paul?
About 26 now.
26
like
shows.
That. 26 shows,
wow.
Yeah. Something like that.
Right? I've never asked you this, but I have assumed it. So maybe you can tell me. Not only are you probably
I'm not gay. That's okay. No.
I didn't know what you... We support the LGBT community here wholeheartedly, so...
I didn't know what you were going to...
And Paul does, too. He's just being Paul, right? He's just being Paul. So...
You've never asked me what?
No, what I've never asked you is, I know you probably would say that you are enjoying this... And this as a business slash hobby slash nostalgic walk back down memory lane, what you did in college, because people who've listened know that you ran a radio station at the University of Michigan, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so you're probably having a lot more fun doing this than you were doing prior to the Great Recession.
Absolutely. I say this is the most fun I've ever had. One of the reasons is I didn't know there was still another act to come. I thought it was just in that long
An encore
fade. I thought it was in the fade to black phase of my life here, you know, where it just fades out like at the end of the movie. And I say that this is the most fun. I also didn't know that I'd be cool and relevant again. You know, too many people at this age think, well, I can't do anything cutting edge. I can only do things, you know, old. The cutting edge is only for the young. And this is a field where anybody can.
Well, especially in a society where we especially California, where everything is young and there's sort of, you know, old people are supposed to be not, you know, maybe heard, not even heard or seen, just put them away, you know. But so the question I've never asked you.
Yeah,
because I've assumed you're having more fun than you've ever done.
I really am. In many ways, this is the most fun I've ever
had
in my life.
So my following question is twofold. One is financial.
Uh-huh.
Are you financially having a successful second career doing this?
Absolutely, and in many ways more successful than anything I've ever done. I mean, I've had moments where I made more money, but success isn't just.
Right, and that's why I said success, not fine. Yeah, right.
And I think an opportunity, you know, when I started this, I'll give you an interesting quick story. A couple of years ago, somebody walked, we have about 26 shows here. Obviously, we charge to rent the studio time to you and to others. And they're like a typical AM radio station. Then we stream it out, turn it into a podcast, and we sell ads around it. So it's a business model. And somebody came in a couple of years ago, was fascinated with what we're doing. And the guy said, what if I gave you $1 million today? What would you do with it? He said, I'm not saying I will, but how would you invest it? What would you do with it to grow it? I said, grow it? I thought this is just like my last act.
Last hurrah.
I didn't know there was growth. And, yeah. And I started thinking, do we open up Long Beach Talk Radio, a Persian Talk Radio?
And you and I have talked about it. Before, like what else could be done with it? And you know what's interesting is you just proved what I thought was the case. Thank you for sharing that. The other thing I want to ask you is, how has that been to have this sort of purpose, to find this purpose, pursue something that's a passion of yours, and then finding out that that now your life has more potential? How's that reflected on?
Unbelievable. And I'll give you, not to get too deep and dark too quickly here, but my wife recently got laid off 27 years at the bank.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, dude.
And she's in her late 60s, and they just wiped out her whole job category. She was in a kind of auditing position that they decided they don't need anymore. She and a bunch of others got laid off, and she can't find a job. Because she puts down on her resume, I got 20, 30 years of experience. You think people would jump at it? Instead, they don't even call her back. Yeah. And she's like, I'm not ready to quit yet. One, you know, we could still use the money. And two, she doesn't want to sit home and just watch TV. She's still vibrant and young and healthy and alive and loves being with people and loves doing something.
So when is Mrs. Smythe joining the crew?
She may have to, yeah. But it's amazing because we've gone through the opposite. I thought my life was over. When the Great Recession hit, my business got wiped out, and I thought, I'm done. And I'm never going to get, I'll be working at Walmart or something here asking if you want fries with that order. I didn't think there was a potential to start something in my mid-50s. And she's, having been in a corporate world, either going to have to transition to something where she does something on her own or get somebody to take a chance on her at this later age, if that's the truth. I think 70 is the new 50.
Well, there's a lot of wealth of knowledge and a lot of brain power that basically, unfortunately, society, the way we're programmed, does not value, which is unfortunate, and it's, I will say, it's stupid waste.
Can I give you a really shocking article?
Really quick, so I need to get back to
this. Yes, I know you guys are here. I just read an article in the Atlantic magazine, which I usually read. It's a fairly liberal and very insightful magazine. I was furious. Somebody wrote an editorial in there saying basically that Bernie and Elizabeth Sanders and Joe Biden, give it up. You're too old. Let somebody young take the lead here. Your time has passed. Go. They literally said Bernie should run like a hostel down in the Nicaragua or something, and everybody else should just sit back and just be happy to show up at a parade or something. It was a very nasty article saying that the young people, it's time for us to take over. And I'm like, since when? So we're all supposed to stop at 65 or 70?
But you know what's funny is society actually does the same thing for people that are young. Oh, you're too young to do this, or you're too young to do that. And every one of us has gone through that. And it's really funny that we do the same thing almost full circle when it gets to somebody who's older.
Yeah.
Right? So
we don't want anybody that's 20. We don't want anybody that's 70. We're only fit to work at McDonald's.
Well, and not necessarily work, but be productive. Provide value, right? To have purpose.
And I think that's what the baby boomers are already redefining. We're not ready to quit. We're not ready to sell our homes and move to a retirement community. Okay. We're not ready to give up yet. And yet, yeah, we have to make some accommodations. There's some changes because of our age, but we're not ready.
So you're basically once again living the poop label, which is basically pissed off
old
people. Yeah. Okay, right? He termed that. That's all. Paul Roberts.
We used to be hippies. Then we became yuppies, the opposite. Now we're full of poop. He comes in
and he says, "We're poop." I said, "What do you mean you're poop? You're pissed off old people."
Oh yeah.
Right,
and that's the way most people view
us. But yes, as baby boomers, you guys have shaped a lot of stuff, and I think you will probably shape aging as well at this point, especially if you harness that anger of being kind of sort of marginalized and devalued.
Right. Right.
So with that, we have established one thing so far in the show, right? That your aging today has nothing to do with how people aged before.
That's the truth.
And everybody who's out there that's providing service, let's bring it back to our guests, who providing service and care or any kind of connection with the senior industry that is still delivering on that product and service the same way they've been delivering for the last 20 years, would you agree
they're full of poop?
They're full of poop? Well, I mean, we at the very least, we have a transition of profile, right? We have people that are of that older generation that are going through the support and care system for seniors. But we also have this incoming group that are more like Paul. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the industry, from what I have seen, is slow to react. Maybe there's a fear factor. Maybe there is a risk factor. You know, I mean, how many places that are senior care, for example, are providing, I don't know, CBD-based, you know, products, right? They're incorporating maybe more holistic approach to caregiving, more vertically integrated services. The programs that are offered through anything from board and care to assisted living are more reflective of what people, I mean, if somebody is now 65, 70, very easily, when they were in their 40s, they may have basically taken a yoga class once a week. So if you don't have a program of in the facility that basically connects them to that quality of life and lifestyle that they already have as part of their regimen of wellness, and we're trying to fit them into, no, go sit at that table that has the laminated tabletop, and, you know, there's a disconnect. So you guys...
Can I give you a perfect example
Paul,
of that?
No, not right now. Okay. Sorry, I need to get this in. Right. So I would like you for both to take a moment and... share background a little bit, and then how did you find yourself getting involved in the senior industry? Because I always find that there's a personal story for people who are in this position where they are involved in senior care. There's usually some sort of personal reason how they got involved. So, Hani, if you will start us off.
Yeah. I'm a pharmacist by profession, and I was all my life working in the, I would say, the senior industry, you know. A pharmacist, I have to deliver medication to people and all of this stuff. So I moved actually to California about 8-9 years ago when I found that I cannot use my license, which I had from Egypt. I'm Egyptian. In here,
Different medical boards.
So I have to make a test for 2 years and do studies, and which I, when I decided, you know what? No, enough for studying. I have to do something still related to my
background. What your field is.
When I started the first by home care, providing caregivers for seniors still. And then I moved to a hospice and home health business, which still was related to seniors. Until Kathy and I met, and we decided to start our, you know, new type of business, which is boarding care homes for seniors. And then when we came with Queens Homes.
What's the website, by the way, Hani?
It's
Our Queens Homes.
Our Queens.
Our Queens Homes. .com.
With an S, Homes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ours, O-U-R-S, Queens, Q-U-E-E-N-S, Homes, H-O-M-E-S, .com.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Yeah.
So when we started this, and that was about almost 3 years ago, where we found really there's a big need of professional people to get into this industry, like doctors, physicians, pharmacists, people who have the heart and who have the knowledge to support. It's not only having a house with seniors.
So board and care is not it's not a new industry. So you're saying that the majority of those offerings are not basically provided by people that are medical professionals or involved in the medical field?
No, okay. It was not. And up till now, it's not. Anybody can start a business like board and care home, senior home, which from my point of view is okay. No problem.
Is it the regulations, Hani? Because with board and care, it's 6 beds or less, the regulations are a little bit more, flexible.
Flexible, than a larger... Yes. All what you have to get is an RCFE license, which you go for the test, for the board test.
What is the license? What's the acronym?
Residential Care for Elderly.
Okay.
So, which I got easily, and I found myself really giving a lot because of my background and my knowledge about how to deal with seniors. The medication component in senior homes is really something serious.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of medical overprescription and abuse.
Exactly. And this is what we found when I was starting boarding care, because lots of medication have been given to seniors or our residents, and many times there are contradictory medication, which comes by mistake, you know, different physicians, different doctors prescribing different things, and then suddenly one medication stopped the effect of something. So this is what I was focusing in, and up till now it's our marketing point, mm-hmm. niche, that mm-hmm. I'm a pharmacist, I have mm-hmm. background, which can do, you know, help mm-hmm. into this thing. Still, also, there's so many other things. You know, regulations by licensing is a lot. And you have to go do a lot of paperwork, a lot of taking care of the seniors, a lot of taking care of the place itself, the house itself, and how it's good and how it's hygiene and how it smells and all of this stuff.
Well, so, and there's ambulatory and non-ambulatory. I mean, there's multiple categories. Yeah, absolutely.
Really.
Yeah.
And through these 3 years, really, I got lots of more experience. I built my experience in senior homes,
right.
Particularly. So Kathy and I are really doing a lot of work. We are almost every single day in our homes. We are not just a business owner who comes and end of the month collecting checks and all. No. We are every day there, hands on, take care of our residents. We know them by name, of course. We know their history. We know their families. Mm-hmm. We know what kind of medication they're taking. So we are handling this thing we have the heart. This is what I want to say. It's not starting a business of boarding care homes. Mm-hmm. No, you have to have the heart. You have to be in it. You have to want to do it. Because it's a lot of work, a lot of responsibility, and you have to invest a lot of your time. Your phone have to be on 24/7.
Well, and for the person that's actually looking to basically place a loved one or a family member into a facility, right? Whether it be a boarding care or more medical attention in a specialized, let's say, dementia or memory care or whatever. This is not a cheap. I keep saying this to everybody. This is not a cheap proposition. This is a costly thing. Even if you find a deal, the deal is in the thousands on a monthly basis, right? So it is important that you not only are out of desperation grabbing whatever is close by, which in a lot of cases it's convenience-based that, you know, people will place people within 15 miles or 15 minutes so they can stay connected with them, right? And have their lives less disrupted, although there's a disruption. But also, there's an actual bottom line dollars and cents thing. And so you should be very particular and critical and selective in where you basically spend your money and have that person who loved one cared for, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's true. And you will find there's a lot of, market segments and parts. You will start with very low cost till very high cost. And the cost is not how much money you are making and putting in your pocket at the end of the day. No, it's how much you are giving and investing to make this place looks good. It's the quality of caregivers, by the way. Yes. This is a big also thing in our industry, the caregivers and how they are qualified.
Well, and caring for the caregiver too, right?
Exactly.
Because
that's
a very draining profession.
Expensive. When you have the good ones, they are expensive.
Yeah.
So, and this is the most important thing, how good your caregivers are to take care of the residents and your residents and seniors and all of this stuff. So we are investing time, money in it as much as we can, Kathy and I. Actually.
So Kathy, how did you find yourself? Because we talked about at the beginning that you were a pioneer in the internet radio stuff. But and are you feeding live on your phone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, give me your phone so that I can catch you. So for everybody, see, we're just switching to now Kathy being on the spotlight. So how did you find yourself getting into the senior industry?
Well, first of all, I'm an entrepreneur, and I always like to explore and see what is going to give me more challenge in life. And when I sold my business as a wholesaler bakery back in 2011, I was looking to see what would be the next trend in the industry.
Where was your bakery, by the way?
I had a wholesaler bakery in Costa Mesa.
Okay.
And so after studying and find out that these baby boomers who have great life, they've been always very much active and had a good life and good money and good saving. Now they are going to the age of retirement, and they don't want to be in ordinary places, and they don't want to be in places that the kids feel like that. I don't want to have a feeling that I'm just throwing my mom or dad in a dark or boring or ugly place and feeling like, oh my God, why am I doing that? And then hiring caregiver and obviously being 24 hours with the caregiver at home, it's not going to be easy. So I did a lot of study, did go and check a lot of homes, and I did go and check lot of bigger facility. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you're on independent living, your life is completely different. You're still driving. You still can walk and talk and right. socialize. But when you get to the age and the point that you have dementia, Alzheimer's,
you have to be cared
memory
for.
Care, you don't even remember go to the bathroom or shower. So you need more care. And that is the time that you need to be in the places that you will have like 24 hours care.
Yeah.
So we decide to have homes.
And sometimes it's not possible to do that in your own home or in a relative's home.
It is not. Yeah. I mean, as much as you get all the cares that you wanted, as much as you get all the attention and the best caregiver, which people, there is a wonderful caregiver out there and go to your home and take care of you. But there is still a lot of things that having the professional or someone who's trained to be taking care of the older people are not going to be looking after you.
And by the way, to all of us, I'm going through this myself right now and not to that level yet, but you know, for anybody who's dealing with an aging parent or a relative that's aging and you're sort of in the role of primary kind of caregiver or primary, you know, like responsibility making some of these decisions or helping them guide them to that because they're not in a point of dementia or unable to make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. These are not simple decisions. These are ones that also have an emotional cost. They drain you. They impact your life. You don't realize how much it is something that's an adjustment. You don't even realize how much patience you really may have or may not have. So in a lot of cases, when you get to that point, it may be okay to step away from feeling guilty that you cannot be the provider of those service and care and actually reach out to somebody like these guys here or caregivers that would then basically be able to help you better provide. Because it's not a reflection on you as the relative or the son or the daughter that you are unable to provide that level for your parent or for your loved one. It just requires a different level of care. And sometimes that is not possible in your own home, as much as you may want to be there for them, you know.
Not only it's not possible, even the cost of having 24 hours care, it's getting very expensive.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have to have like at least two or three shifts. Sometimes people only have like one shift, which the caregiver come in the morning and leave in afternoon.
Help a little bit with the house. And then,
what is going to happen after that, you know, the caregiver leave? Do you want it to leave your loved one home alone? Do you know if they're going to be
right? Who's on call? Who's on call then? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you wanted to give up your own life and be as a caregiver there.
So we really have to. We really have to be realistic. Is what I'm trying to say. Is in a lot of cases we make these decisions emotionally, but you're not necessarily making that decision for everybody's best interest if you're only making it emotionally. There has to be a certain practicality in how this fits into your life. You may have other responsibilities. You may have kids, your personal relationships, your marriages. There's a drain. There's a pressure that comes added into this when you are caring for somebody. So do not take it lightly. Paul, you're signaling to me like you want to say something.
Yeah, well, obviously, I went through this with my aunt last year when she was 94, never got married. I'm her only living relative, and I had to take care of her when she couldn't take care of herself anymore. And she didn't have any money, and I didn't have the money to spend $5,000-$7,000 a month to put her into a nursing home. And she didn't want to go into a nursing home, so it was the worst of both worlds. And when it became clear she had to do something, I discovered this world of board and care. I don't know why it's not talked about ever. This is out in the desert. We found one. It's a home. There's three or four people living there, not 300. So your ratio of caregivers to loved ones is much higher, and they're in a real house, in a real neighborhood. It was wonderful. It was magical, and it was far less expensive. So it was the best of all worlds. Better care, better experience, better price.
So what you've been involved in this for 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just to give everybody a sense of where, in Orange County.
Yeah, in Orange County.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you have seen over the course of the last 3 years relevant to this that you can see where this thing is going? Because like we said at the beginning, the industry is changing. The way you provide the care is changing, right? I mean, it's still care.
True.
But the people that are coming in before may have been feeling very fortunate to have a place. You have a little bit more of a, how should we put it without insulting Paul? A little bit more
go ahead.
Particular particular? Was that okay for you?
Well,
particular incoming guest.
Oh, they're picky. Okay? They're demanding.
Oh, picky and demanding. Picky, they're poop, basically.
Yeah.
They're pissed off old people. But they're people that have a they're coming from a different definition of quality of life.
Sure.
And they're trying to have some connection, if not in 100% the same. So what are you seeing, Henny and Kathy? What are you guys seeing in the board and care side of things in Orange County that is starting to reflect maybe some of that?
You mean who's coming in?
Are the facilities starting to reflect that? Are you starting to have to incorporate a different approach to your programming? You know, and again, to preface it, depending on the level of care and where the person is in that. But six beds or less.
Right.
Board and care.
Right.
What are you guys seeing?
As a matter of fact, there's so many factors. First of all, I want to say something about different cultures.
Okay.
We have
very important point. Thank you for bringing that
different
up.
Different cultures. And this makes us, you know, try to be as much as close to them. We have lots of Asian. We have lots of, I would say, Americans, Europeans, Middle Eastern. How to deal
and with... And then subcategories even within those.
Exactly. Exactly.
And every one of those ethnic or cultural backgrounds has an impact because they are used to certain nuances that are particular to that culture or to that minority demographic.
Exactly.
And how do you... You cannot provide a standard template care in every one of those conditions. And we have that. You're right, because we have like a big concentration of Latinos in Santa right. Ana and elsewhere in Southern California. You have a large concentration of Vietnamese versus Chinese.
Absolutely.
You know, Vietnamese in Garden Grove, a larger concentration of Chinese, basically ethnic background in Irvine. You have
Persians,
Egyptians,
yep.
You know,
a lot of
Syrians, different backgrounds
from right. Middle East.
And that needs to be reflected within how you give your care for seniors.
Exactly. Yeah. Which sometimes it's a kind of a challenging thing because so
layers of faith.
Exactly.
How they pray.
This is number one. Yeah. Type of food.
The food. The number one. Communication. It's something that they are very, very concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of the time, these people are always so worried about that. I want to put my mom or my dad somewhere that they will be able to talk to mm-hmm. the caregiver. Because obviously, imagine that you are at the age that you are not patient. You need something right now. And then you're
dealing with dementia.
Exactly.
You can't even remember. You're stuck on words.
And your caregiver cannot understand. Well, I mean, you probably come up with a simple word.
Or you do something action-wise that is so ingrained into your ethnic background or your family dynamic or cultural background or even, we don't even have to go across international borders. Different parts of this country have different nuances and things. And if somebody takes an action that I am not familiar with as mm-hmm. a caregiver, I don't even understand where they're coming from, and they can't communicate that to me. Yes, you're right. There has to be an awareness.
Exactly. Exactly. And not only that, going back to the subject of people are not feeling comfortable to living, taking their mom and dad to the border care home or homes like us,
mm-hmm.
because some people feel very guilty that, oh, my parents been taking care of us for years and years, and now it's our turn to taking care of them. Great, wonderful. But think about this. Are you the one going every single day, giving back to your mom and checking every inch of your mom's or dad's body to see if it's a bit sore? Is it bleeding? Is it blister?
Clean.
You know, I had a resident that she was bleeding internally and for months. And the son who was taking care of her, and she was perfectly fine. He didn't even catch it because he was not the one going at the, you know, end of the toilet and clean her.
One of the most shocking things that I heard, and it was a learning lesson for me, and only because I'm watching out for stuff like this, most people wouldn't even see this, is that I read something about the fact that people basically are dehydrated. seniors get dehydrated
mm-hmm.
because they're not drinking enough water. And you're like, well, they should drink more water. You know, the reason why they're not drinking water, this is an article, the reason why this particular group that they studied wasn't drinking water is because they're having a hard time basically using the toilet, using the bathroom. So in order for them to stop going to the bathroom, they stop drinking.
Exactly.
And so if you're not basically aware of to even look for that, they could be in your own home and you can all you can see is that somebody is basically getting emaciated, they're getting dehydrated. You know, all you can tell is try to push water on them, but the core reason is there's not a shame necessarily, but a discomfort component to this that you need to solve, which is fix your dang bathroom so they can use it easier, or provide some sort of awareness to them that what can I do to help you with that, because they're not drinking water, so they don't want to go to the bathroom because they're having difficulty.
And listen, this is a very important point. It's not only dehydrating.
Yeah.
With this age,
well, nutrition,
the UTI.
UTI.
The UTI is a big thing in this, and then start to develop to more serious problems.
My aunt got UTIs, urinary tract infections, nearly every month because she didn't, I'm sorry to say this, wipe herself well.
Yeah,
she didn't take care of herself.
Right.
And so she was constantly infecting herself, and she sat in her diaper all day long, her adult diaper, and she wondered why she got UTI. And UTIs, I didn't realize, can make you hallucinate.
Exactly. Disoriented. Yeah.
So I'm sorry for anybody whose sensibility is maybe a little offended today that we're talking at this level in depth. I will tell you from personal experience recently, and it's not necessarily making me look forward to more, right? But this is the reality of life. Yeah. Those things are actually pretty jarring when you experience them for the first time and you're doing it in your own home with a loved one that basically you're taking care of. So as much as we want to be there for those that we care about and be there as their caregiver, sometimes we may not be the right solution. At some point, we may need to actually get professional help, and we may actually have to house them somewhere. So at that point, what are your options? What are the costs? Where do you do it? Educate yourself before you are forced to have your back against the wall and have to make a decision within hours or days because you're waiting to get somebody discharged because they fell, they broke a hip, they did something, right?
That's right.
Paul, go ahead. What?
You're describing my life exactly with my mom, my dad, and then my aunt. Try and be the person telling your 94-year-old aunt that she doesn't wipe herself well. Try and be the person that's trying to tell your mother why she's getting urinary tract infections over and over again, and that she can't just sit in her diaper all day long.
Yeah, all of a sudden, split second, because of what you're facing or you're seeing, you now have to basically cross that bridge. And nobody told you how to even prepare for.
The problem is all of this, and think about it, that you have to take the medication, just your normal blood pressure.
Yeah. Well,
you forget about it.
Kathy, I get calls from I won't say which pharmacy, but it's a large chain big box pharmacy. I get calls, or texts even, not even calls, where people are reminding me of the fact that I have still a prescription to fill. And I basically have to stop myself and go, well, why would I need to fill it? I haven't even finished the other one. It was prescribed after, you know, tooth surgery, and I used like one pill, and I have the rest of it basically sitting in my, but they're reminding me because they're trying to sell a refill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, imagine being a person who's in their 80s or 90s that have the beginning of front lobe dementia, right, and basically can't remember but is being prompted to basically refill a prescription. So now the two things are happening. I better refill it before I cannot refill it, right? So now I have more than I need in the house, and I can't remember whether I took my morning and the afternoon.
But you only had one medication that you need to deal with. Imagine if you have like
no, and multiplied, multiplied, right?
12, and then you get up in the morning, you look at it.
I traveled with my father, and we had my mother filled out all his medications by the day, and these boxes with the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? Morning and afternoon. I saw it for myself, where he would forget the morning or the afternoon. And then the next day when he realized that he forgot it, what does he do?
He was taking a double and overdosing.
Double dose.
Yep. Yeah, we have
easily
that.
Easy overdose.
Yeah.
Easy overdose.
Yeah.
And these are serious medications, and like you were saying, and stuff that has impact if you're cross-medicating from this and this, you're either canceling out the benefit or you're having side effects or things, and nobody's watching it.
True.
And if somebody's watching and sees somebody hallucinating but doesn't realize it's because of their
the UTI or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what? I guess that we are getting at
the we're getting
show,
close, right? I will invite you guys because I want you guys to come back. I think the issue of the different cultural background is something we should talk about more. And I can't think of better people to come in and talk about that because that is something that doesn't get discussed. I mean, we all go to a lot of senior activities, right? Yep. We don't get a lot of that discussion.
No.
First of all, the main thing is that many people, I realize, they don't want to talk about it. They want to sugarcoat it and they want to cover it and they want to hide it. They don't want to bring the subject up. But what I learned is tough love. If you wanted to have a healthy parents, if you want to have your parents to live longer, you better have a tough love.
Yeah, but what's funny, Kathy, is tough love usually is from the parent, your parent,
but
to
now,
you.
Hey,
now you are your parent's parent.
Exactly. Now the life is turned around. Yeah. Now they are the baby.
Well, I've had to do tough love with my father recently. Yeah.
They, as you know, they always is that when people get older, they go back to be a child again.
Try telling your father, no, you cannot get your own keys to your own car that you paid for with your own money and start it in the garage, because if you do, you might be tempted to move it out of the garage and scrape the heck out of the side of the car.
This is the exact story you were just telling us
just
before the show.
Yeah.
About how you're taking care of it.
And this is the simple conversation.
Oh, yeah.
This is not the, Dad, we might need to change your pants because something did not get cleaned correctly. Faced with that situation physically, and you have to go there, how do you have that conversation? How do you discuss it? Yeah, I hats off to anybody who's in senior care, honestly. And it really is not a straightforward thing. You need to be dealing with people that are consciously aware, that have the nuances, have the professional experience, the training, the certification. But that's just the starting point, because to your point, to have the heart.
Yes, exactly.
To actually provide that service. And there's a lot of people out there, we all know them, that are really involved in this. You know, we honor a lot of them with the Senior Serve Heroes Awards every year at the Grove.
Right.
Shout out to Senior Serve for actually taking the effort to acknowledge some of these people that are unsung heroes. And thank you for allowing this show to actually do red carpet. I'm hoping to basically be called to do that this year again. Susan Pepere, if you're listening to the show, I just basically asked you to, call me and let's schedule it. But no, seriously. This is something that we don't talk enough about, Kathy.
Because we don't want to talk about it. We are shame. We are think. You know, I have people who are in this field.
Yeah.
They are professional. And when these things happen to their own parents, they ignore it. And they said, you know what? My dad said something. I cannot even believe that my son.
And those are professionals.
And I'm saying that, hey, wait a minute. You're saying that your dad say something, don't you think that your dad is starting Alzheimer's? Goes, No.
Right. It's hard for me to believe, even though I'm in the industry.
Exactly.
Right. So I have to wrap up, but I will tell you two things. This show, we have those conversations.
Yeah.
And we've done them from day one. Paul will tell you.
True.
Okay, we have these conversations. True. Our first show was about elder abuse, so we don't shy away from this. And anybody who wants to talk about this stuff, because it is important to have this conversation, otherwise we will not be able to navigate the silver tsunami that we are dealing with, that we are completely unprepared for. So, with that being said, I appreciate you guys.
In case we have another chance to talk with you.
I'm inviting you already.
I guess it's not only the different cultures, but how to teach families
to deal with
when
it.
They have to start. This is very important.
You're on. So you just not only invite, just confirm that you're coming back, but you just set up the agenda for the show.
Thank you.
Well, with that, I will.
I hope I'll be invited. Go to.
That's right. Thank you guys for both being here.
Thank you, Rod.
All right.
It was a pleasure.
I'll look forward to having you guys on once again. Thanks, everybody, for being on The Rad Life.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.